Genesis 22. There are times in life in which God Almighty, in His infinite wisdom, chooses to test the sincerity of the faith of His children. And it has been said that a faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. In other words, that profession that does not stand the test of time and trials is simply worthless. Only that faith which has stood the test of time and difficulty can be trusted as genuine. And in Genesis 22, we find one of those instances in which God, through His infinite wisdom, chooses to prove the sincerity of one named Abraham. And Genesis 22 is truly a gold mine of shadows, types, and illustrations that point to the Lord Jesus Christ and His coming substitutionary sacrifice for sinners. And while it would be profitable for us to dig each gold nugget of prophecy and to examine it and to glory at its luster this morning, it is my desire to rather awaken you to a biblical truth that has been greatly distorted in the 21st century. The biblical truth that has been greatly distorted and abused in our day is the concept of worship. I want to show you this morning from the pages of God's Word what the essence of worship truly is. Genesis 22, verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. He tested Abraham. He's proving Abraham. And said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and give thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Notice Abraham's words in verse number 5. If you understand the context correctly, the words of verse number 5 should awaken your understanding to what true worship is. Some may not be awakened quite yet as they look even at the verse. So let me describe the situation Abraham is in when he utters the words. God commands Abraham to take his son Isaac, the promised son, through whom God would keep His covenant with Abraham to make him a father of many nations, to whom Isaac came at a time when Sarah was past the age of childbearing, and it would be a miracle of miracles. But God's promises are yea and amen. When God says He will do something, surely it will come to pass. And though Abraham and Sarah became impatient, and they took Sarah's handmaid and Hagar and gave it to Abraham, thinking God is going to fulfill His promise through one called Hagar, it was only through Isaac, through their child, that God is going to fulfill this promise. And now here in Genesis chapter 22, God tells Abraham to take his son Isaac and offer him as a burnt offering. And he says in verse number 5, Abide ye here, and I and the lad will go yonder
in worship. There is no church building around. They did not bring instruments with them. And yet they are going to worship God. In Abraham's striking statement, we find the essence of true worship. What is the essence of worship? The essence of worship is obedience to God. And not just any obedience, but obedience to God from a heart of love. And we know the history of Abraham. It was God who came to Abraham while he was living in Ur of Chaldees, and it was God who set his love and affection on this one named Abraham as he lived in a land of idolatry, as he was practicing many pagan rituals. And it was God who rescued Abraham from sin's bondage and granted him eternal life. And the Bible tells us that because God loved Abraham, Abraham willingly trusted in the coming Messiah to be his Lord and Savior. Just as we saw last Sunday morning, King David was saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Abraham looked forward to Calvary, and he trusted that one, the Lamb of God, would come and to be the Savior of his soul. And it was by faith in Christ that the Lord imputed Abraham with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is very clear. Abraham was justified. He was declared righteous in the sight of God by faith in Christ. Abraham did not receive the assurance of eternal life through the covenant sign of circumcision. Abraham did not receive the promise of eternal life through the works of the law. It was by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has bestowed his love upon this one, Abraham, and this love has melted the heart of Abraham so that Abraham willingly and obediently follows the Lord Jesus Christ. God did not put his hands around the throat of Abraham and said, "You will worship me and serve me whether you like it or not." And though some still accuse this preacher of preaching such a theology, I assure you from the pages of Scripture that when God comes to a man, he comes with his great love. He comes with the message of his wonderful mercy and his abundant grace. And this message melts the heart and makes one willing to come to Christ and cleave unto him. Abraham did not obey by force or of mere duty, but out of a heart and a love for God. God told Abraham to offer his son Isaac, and he was obedient in following God's command. And though Abraham loved his son Isaac immensely, Abraham loved God even more. Abraham was going to worship God by obeying God's command from a heart of love for him. This is the essence of worship. The essence of worship is obedience to God from a heart of love. But see also from this, that the essence of worship is faith in God from a heart of trust. Abraham was persuaded that God was righteous in all of his ways and holy in all of his works. Abraham knew that what God commands him to do, even though in his mind it may not make complete sense, he knew the character of God and he could trust the one who was his eternal Savior. He could trust the one who is merciful. He could trust the one who is faithful and just and good. And so what is the essence of worship but faith in God from a heart of trust? Trusting that God will keep his promises. Verse 5, he says, "I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you." Even though he knew that Isaac was going to die, he thought in his mind that God was going to raise him up again so that God would fulfill his promise and fulfill his covenant. I and the lad will come up. I'm going to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. And though I do it, God's going to be faithful and keep his promises, and surely God will raise him up again. This was the mind of Isaac. He had faith in God from a heart of trust. Abraham believed that through Isaac, and though Isaac was going to die, God would raise him back to life. For God had made a promise that Abraham would be the father of many nations through Isaac. What is the essence of worship? It's obedience to God from a heart of love. It's faith in God from a heart of trust. And it's also the fear of God from a heart of honor. As Abraham stretched forth his hand to slay his son, as God had commanded him, the angel of the Lord from heaven says, "Abraham, Abraham!" And he stops. And he echoes some important words for us to understand. He says, "Now I know that thou fearest God. Now I know, Abraham, in your heart, you truly honor me and my commandments. This is not just an external religion. This is truly a heart of faith, a heart that fears the one and only true and living God." Abraham's heart was filled with a deep reverence for God. As one Puritan put it, "Abraham esteemed the smiles and frowns of God to be greater weight and value than the smiles and frowns of men." And Abraham revered God more than anybody else. And the proof of this was displayed in his willingness to obey his God. What is the essence of worship? It's obedience to God from a heart of love. It's faith in God from a heart of trust. And it's fearing God from a heart of honor. Please see this morning that the essence of worship is the worship of God from the heart. The essence of worship is the worship of God from the heart. And we see this truth emphasized in 1 Samuel chapter 15. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, we have the account of King Saul. And God gave King Saul a commandment. And the commandment was to take out the Amalekites, to utterly destroy all individuals of the Amalekites and even their animals. It was a very clear command. And King Saul, as he went in unto the land of the Amalekites, saved the king of the Amalekites. He destroyed those weak animals and saved the best ones for himself to offer unto God later. And God, through the prophet Samuel, has a message of reproof to King Saul. He does not destroy the king as he has been told. He saves the best animals to offer as a sacrifice, and you will find as you read that portion of scripture, Saul, in his pride and his self-will, says, "What's the problem? I've obeyed. I did what God wanted me to do." And Samuel comes with a reproof because King Saul did not obey completely. Partial obedience is no obedience at all. And so God, through the prophet Samuel, has a message for King Saul, and the message is this. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." King Saul did not obey God as God commanded him. God commanded him to annihilate them all. And he did not. And so he comes with a message and says, King Saul, you have not obeyed God's voice. You did not do what he commands. And though you have saved the best animals as a sacrifice to give unto God, I want you to know it's worthless and in vain, because your heart did not obey the commandment of the Lord. And we see this truth emphasized in Isaiah's words to Israel in Isaiah chapter 1. And here we find Israel externally worshiping God through sacrifice. And through the prophet Isaiah, God would say, hear the word of the Lord. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and of fat of the fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of the lambs or of the he-goats. Bring no more vain oblations. Now God had commanded Israel to sacrifice, did he not? He did. And Israel is sacrificing unto God as God commands. But their heart is not in it. And so God says, enough. I don't want any more. Stop the vain offerings. Your heart is not set on keeping the commandments of God. In so many words, God is saying, your worship is nauseating unto me. I am fed up. Stop. We see this truth emphasized in Jesus' rebuke of the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew chapter 15. And Jesus says here in Matthew 15, the scribes and Pharisees, they worship me in vain. The people draw nigh with me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. In vain. Their worship is useless. Their worship is empty because they are not abiding according to my word. They're adding to the commandments of God and they're taking away from. They were maximizing tradition and minimizing God's truth. And so Jesus reproves them and says, your worship is vain. Strong words. And this is not just the case with King Saul. This is not just the case of the Israelites. This is not just the case of the scribes and Pharisees. But beloved, I want to tell you this morning, we are guilty of the same. We who declare ourselves to be born again Christians are guilty of doing the same things. God's word, through these reproofs, are teaching us that it is possible for unbelievers to do religious things and not worship God. It is possible for those who are Christians to come to church and read their Bibles and to sing songs unto one called Jesus and not truly worship God. It is possible, like the hypocrites, the Pharisees and scribes of the New Testament, to give offering unto God and to keep oneself pure from the things of this world and not truly worship God. It is possible for musicians and instrumentalists to sing and play and not worship God. And it is possible for one to lay prostrate on the ground and pray and not really worship God. Are you following me? For the worship of God is obedience to God's word from the heart. We are no different than the Israelites. We are no different than King Saul. We are no different than the scribes and the Pharisees. We think that God is pleased with our sacrifice and our service, though our hearts may not be set upon God. But God wants the heart. God wants the inward man. And we need to examine our hearts this morning. We need to examine our homes this morning. We need to examine Christianity at large this morning. And if we will do, we will see a great amount of hypocrisy. We will see that many profess to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and many fathers who aren't leading their homes as they ought, many wives who aren't submitting as they ought, and many children who are rebellious in the homes. We will find those who profess to know God as Lord and Savior, we will find them loving the things of this world. We will find them practicing immorality. Though they come to church and dress up and say, praise God, bless God. Yes, I worship God. With their lives, their worship is truly in vain. Associations and activities of this world, the music, the entertainment, so much hypocrisy abounding. I want you to see that the essence of worship is the worship of God from the heart. Submitting to His word, to His command. It's the willful submission of the will to God. That's what the essence of worship truly is. And I'm afraid in our day we have redefined what worship truly means. Much of what we call worship today is nothing more than an emotional high worked up through men by the instrumentality of instruments. If you don't believe me, go home, type worship on Google search engine, and you will find most pictures show a dark auditorium, bright lights, a multitude of people with hands in the air, and then also musicians on stage. That is the modern day concept of worship. But I'm here to tell you that is wrong. You can go to all the Christian concerts you want. Musicians can play thousands of worship concerts for the Lord throughout the year. And if their heart is far from the Word, and if they are not submitting to God's will, they are not worshiping God. Worship is not an emotional experience that makes you feel good. Worship is obedience to God's Word, whether you feel good or not. Think about Abraham. Oh, there were emotions involved. But it wasn't the emotional high that we think today, is it? Understand, true worship is obeying God from the heart. And to further persuade you of this truth, let me point you to the greatest example that we have in the Scriptures, and that's to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant. Jesus Christ was made in the likeness of men, the Bible tells us in Philippians, and He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The evening before Jesus was to die on that cross, we find Him in a place called Gethsemane. And we find Him sorrowful and heavy of spirit, because He knows what is about to take place. Jesus Christ our Lord knows that He is going to be separated from God the Father for a time as He is bearing the sins of the world upon His shoulders. And Jesus Christ knows this is not going to be an easy task. Yes, Jesus was God, but Jesus was also man. And He would be forsaken. And He would be despised, and He would be spit upon, and He would be mocked even unto His last seconds. And He, knowing all this, throws Himself down on the ground in this Garden of Gethsemane, and He cries this, "Not my will, but thine be done." What is this cry? It's the cry of a worshiper. He submitted himself to the will of the Father. God sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And he went about doing good. And he came to earth to fulfill his Father's will. And part of that will involved a great sacrifice. But the essence of worship is obedience to the Father. And we find in that prayer in Gethsemane, the essence of worship. Not my will be done, but thou wilt. And as we find our Savior suffering and dying upon Calvary's cross, his final cry in anguish and in victory, it is finished, demonstrates what worship is. It demonstrates to us the greatest demonstration mankind has seen of what worship truly is. It is finished. What is finished? He finished his Father's will. He did what God sent him to do. He submitted himself. He became a servant. And that cry shows us the essence of worship. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the God-man, worshipped by obeying the Father's will from the heart. And Christ not only demonstrated to us the essence of worship on Calvary's cross, but he also declared the essence of worship to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, in verse 24, Jesus tells the Samaritan woman that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. This woman thought worship was based on location. This woman thought that worship had to deal with external circumstances. But Jesus says God is a spiritual being. He is not made up of a body like we are. He is eternal. He dwells in all places. He is a spirit. And if you are to worship him, you are to worship him in spirit, with the spiritual man, in the inward man, with the heart, and in truth. You are to worship him how he has prescribed in his word. What is worship? Jesus is teaching us that worship is obedience to God's word and will. And those who worship must worship him in this way. In the inward man, with the spiritual man, in the heart, and according to his truth, and without hypocrisy, but in sincerity. God's true worshipers are those who obey his will. And the first step of worship is obeying the gospel. The first step in worshiping God is obeying his command to repent and to believe the gospel. So I ask you this morning, have you obeyed this command? God has commanded all men everywhere to repent and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you worshiped God by obeying this foremost command? If you are like the Pharisees and you think that God is pleased by your doings or your sacrifices, by your services to God without the heart, you need this day to humble yourself in the sight of God and to repent of these false notions, these false understandings of worship. And you need to submit yourself to the authority of his word and to the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ, confessing your sin, that you are undone, you are unworthy of God's favor, that you deserve to be eternally separated from God. You deserve the wrath of God. You deserve the punishment of sin, and you are a great sinner in the sight of a holy God.
Then you must acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You must acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ came to die for you. You must then acknowledge that Christ is able to save your sin-soaked soul, that Christ has the power on earth to forgive you of sin and grant you eternal life, that Jesus Christ, as the high priest, has authority to go to the Father and to plead your name before His ears. You must obey the gospel if you are to worship God in spirit and in truth. Have you? Have you truly obeyed the gospel? Do you know Christ, and does Christ know you? Or are you simply going through the motions? Are you simply seeking to obey God's word through your own power and flesh? And if you are, life is going to be miserable. The natural man cannot do spiritual things. The lost dead man cannot be alive in Jesus Christ. And yet some are in fact doing that this morning. You're trying to submit yourself to the commands of God, and the commands of God are burdensome to you. They're grievous to you. You don't want to obey them because your heart has not been given to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. You have not become the child of God. You've never been born of the Spirit of God. You don't have a new nature. If that is you, see, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You must see that Jesus Christ is willing to forgive. And He's willing to receive all those who come to Him. And He says, all those who come, He will in no wise cast out. He is the bread of life. You must take of this bread. You must take of the gift of eternal life and be saved today. Receive Him as your own. This is the first step in worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Perhaps God in His grace is awakening you to the reality that you are a modern day Pharisee. Your worship is in vain. It's empty. Though you go to church, though you read the Bible, though you pray, you know the scriptures, you do nice things, you have a life that is moral, and yet your worship is in vain. Confess to God your sin and hypocrisy. Cast aside your counterfeit religion. And find true hope, true joy, true peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. One cannot worship God while remaining in rebellion and in unbelief. It cannot happen. One can only worship God truly as He commands, in the Spirit, as His child, by submitting to His authority and His command. How about you, believer? Are you worshiping God in spirit and in truth, in the inward man? Do you delight to keep His word? Do you honor His commandments in your life? Do you fear Him and keep the commandments? This is the whole duty of man. Or are His commandments burdensome? Is God's word honored in your life? Are you seeking those things which are pleasing in His sight? And if you nod your head yes, the truth is not in the nod of a head, but in the reality of your day-to-day life. Don't you see the Israelites, King Saul, even the scribes and Pharisees, they would say, yes, we are worshiping God. But God says, no, you're not. Stop fooling yourselves. You're not. The proof is in the pudding. The reality is not merely just in the mouth's confession, but it's in the life's obedience. Are you worshiping God? Do you see the worship of God is done throughout the day, every day? It's not just at 10 o'clock to 11:30 on Sunday mornings. Those who are bedridden, those old saints, even now, who would love to be in this place, but they can't. Those saints who are bedridden even now, who would love to sing forth praise unto God, but they can't. Yet in their hearts, they're worshiping God. They love God, and they're keeping His commandments.
Now, will worship manifest itself in the externals? Yes. But the essence of worship is obedience to God from the heart. And out of the heart flows all these other things. And if our heart is set upon God, we will pray right, and we will desire to pray. If our heart is set upon God, we will delight to be in His Word and to share Christ with the lost and dying world. If our heart is set upon God and we are worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, we will be the husbands God wants us to be. And ladies, you will be the wives God wants you to be. Children, God will help you to be the children that you are to be. But it starts in the inward man. Jesus said this, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." It's in the heart. He that has the word of God and who is submitting to them, that man is the one who is truly loving me. If you love me, keep my commandments. Prove it by your love. And as you do, that's pure worship. Those of you who have obeyed the gospel, those of you who this morning have the assurance that you're on your way to eternal glory, those of you who know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, can I exhort you this morning, continue to worship God in the beauty of His holiness. Continue to worship God in spirit and in truth. Continue to worship God despite the circumstances around you. Continue to worship God despite whether it makes sense in your mind or not. Continue to worship God because it's what we will be doing for all of eternity. When Christ calls us home, we will sing one note for all of eternity, and that one note is praise to God. He is worthy to be praised. We will praise the Lord Jesus for all of eternity. And listen, we will worship Him perfectly. That is because we will obey Him perfectly. No more flesh to hold us back. No more Satan to keep us back in our seeking God. No more world to distract us. We will obey the King of Kings and Lord of Lords perfectly. And this will be the essence of eternal worship as we meet around the throne of God, saying, "Alleluia, worthy is the Lamb that has been slain." I and the lad will go worship. Truly, these words teach us the essence of what true worship is. May God add His blessing to His word. Let's pray. Father, we come to You in our sin. We come to You with knowledge of our own hypocrisies. Yet we come in the knowledge of Your promises that if we confess our sins, You are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, forgive us of our vain worship of You. Forgive us of worshiping our false understanding of worship. Father, I pray that You would give us hearts that truly adore You, hearts that truly submit to Your every command. Father, I pray that You would take Your word this morning and awaken people to the reality of what Your word says. Not the thoughts and opinions of a man, of a preacher, but the opinions and thoughts of our holy and infinite God. Father, unite our heart to fear Your name. Come, come thou fount of every blessing. and tune our hearts to sing your praise. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.